want to make sure that I got my bases covered with Moses. That's all. I'm just trying to going through my papers here. Did I cover that? I was a little distracted because the kids were in the studio. Did I say that his faith was imperfect? All right, but did I give examples? Sort of. All right. Well, I'm going to give more examples today. And if I can't find any, I'm going to make them up. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zenner. Just kidding. I'm not going to make anything up. We are talking about heroes of faith, and you're going to find them in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, Abraham. Did I just say Moses or Abraham? Sorry. I'm a little groggy here on Monday morning. Abraham didn't do everything perfectly. Now, I don't know if you realize this, because I didn't realize it. So if I didn't realize it, how the heck did you realize it without me? Don't you dare. God does not take any notice of Abraham's failures of faith. So here's a guy who's called the father of faith, and yet he screwed up. His faith wasn't perfect. It was a partial obedience, because God told him to leave the land of his forefathers and leave the land of Ur. Thank God I wasn't born in Ur. Birthplace? Ur. No, your birthplace. Ur. You know, the guy thinks you, at the license bureau or whatever, thinks you're rude. Thinks you had, you know, beans for dinner or something. And so that'd be really awkward. So he did not leave his father's house immediately. I always thought he did. Like, go from your father's house, and he heads off. No, he waited till his father had died. So, you know, you were just supposed to go, but I don't know. He had things to take care of. Again, it's the reasoning thing. Now, Abraham did the same thing when God told him that he was going to have a son, son of promise. He waits and waits and waits and waits. And his body's as good as dead. So he goes into his wife's handmaiden, Hagar. That turns out not to be the son of promise. Causes a lot of problems. Jealousy between Hagar and Sarah. The kids are fighting. Ishmael and Isaac. When Isaac eventually comes, as we know, and the kids fight. And they're still fighting. These are the Jews and the Arabs and offspring. So, but the beautiful thing is that this is not mentioned in Hebrews 11. So God looks at the history with rose-colored glasses. I don't know about you, but this makes me really hopeful at the dais of Christ. I mean, we know we're going to confront things, but he's going to gloss over the bad stuff. He's going to gloss over. It's still going to be dealt with. There's still going to be loss at the dais, because Scripture says there's going to be. But it's not going to be, the bad isn't going to be as bad as the good is good. You see what I mean? God's going to supercharge the good, and he's going to just turn the volume down on the bad. So we're not going to be terribly embarrassed. Yeah, I mean, you might be a little bit embarrassed, but not terribly embarrassed. And I remind you that the dais of Christ, where we're going to appear, also called the dais of God in Romans, I believe, is not a place of judgment. You would get that idea from the King James Version, which translates dais, judgment seat. But it's not, it's a raised platform where we will receive awards for good works, for suffering evil, and we'll be dealt with for our failures. But he's going to turn the volume down. And people are going to say, what was that? I didn't hear it. I didn't hear that part. Well, because God turned the volume down. It's very merciful. And then, if you go to Genesis 12, Abraham sojourned in Egypt for a while. He dilly-dallied. But it's good enough for God. And now, here's a sentence from the Concordant Commentary by A.E. Knox. Such lapses as these are not in line with this catalog of the faithful. But in Abraham's case especially, it helps to see that even he failed in his highest excellence. By his highest excellence, what A.E. Knock means here is this is what he's famous for. It's like a gymnast, a parallel bar guy. This is what he's known for, the parallel bars. I mean, he's world famous. He's expected to take the gold medal in the parallel bars. So he gets on there. puts on that stuff on his hands, that goop, whatever you call it, powder, I don't forget what it's called, but he puts it on his hands and then he does it, tries to flip, and he falls. But this guy's a gold medalist. Yeah, but he's also a human being, and so are you. You're a human being. Even your specialty, just watch a football game. The quarterback, his specialty is to throw the ball to his own players. Well, look at some of the stats of even some of the best quarterbacks. They spend some of their time throwing the ball to opposing players, otherwise known as interceptions. But this is what they're known for. Yeah, but they still fail at it. Baseball players, hitters. I mean, it's amazing to hit 400. Not too many people have done it. .400, that means you only get a hit 4 out of 10 times at bat. In other words, you fail 6 out of 10 times. Every time you go up to the plate, you either strike out or you generate an out 6 times out of 10. More than half the time you screw up. And if you do that, you're the best damn batter in baseball. So, let that be a comfort to you. Because it's a comfort to me as well. Now, I'm going to give you some inside information into Hebrews. If, in other words, Israelites, in other words, Jews, if you're an Israelite type person, this is not meant to be offensive. It's just a fact. It's not racist. It's a fact. All right. Here's one of the keys to this chapter in Hebrews. All right. Hold on. Just try to understand this. Don't take this wrong. The Hebrews really don't want faith. What do they want? Fulfillment. And now, I can also say that everybody's like this. Like, faith is a gift, but you know, don't give me the gift, just give me the thing. I don't want the gift of faith, because in telling me that you're giving me faith, that means that I'm not going to get. It means I'm going to keep not seeing. Hey, guess what? You just got an extra delivery of faith. Oh, crap. Now I'm going to continue to not see anything. Because faith is the expectation concerning things which are not being observed. So it's a two-edged sword being delivered extra doses of faith. Congratulations. You got a load of faith. Oh, man. That means that the fulfillment of the promise is still down the road. And that's the thing with the Hebrews. They want fulfillment. They don't want any more promises. They want performances. They don't want faith. They want fulfillment. They don't want any more promises. They want performances. That's another thing. Got 5 good promises for you here. Well, you know, keep them. Give me the performance. And that can be a bad thing. It can be kind of a good thing. In Israel's case, it was always a bad thing. Because the promised land, see, the promised land, just by saying promised land, it means it's still out there. And so you're wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, and everybody tells you, hang on to the promise, hang on to the promise. Darn it, we want to enter the land. And as I'm saying this, I know that you're thinking of yourself, and I'm thinking of myself too. Because we also have a promise. That is that we are going to be snatched away and that we're going to be delivered from these bodies of humiliation and transported into the celestial realm. And we don't want to continue to hear the promise. You know, you read the letter of Ephesians. How many times can you read it? You read it over and over and over again, and you look around and you're still in frickin' Pennsylvania or wherever you are. And you're still in this body. You're still putting your pant leg on. You're still putting your pants on one leg at a time and tripping over them. How humiliating is that? I do it all the time. You drag yourself out of bed, you get up, you simple thing, put my pants on. At first, it ticks me off that I have to put my pants on. I'd rather not. I like not wearing any clothes, but I've never been to a nudist colony. I did tell you that I walked naked on the Great Salt Lake at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night for a mile. It was very liberating. So, and we're not going to be wearing clothes in the Celestials. We're going to have glowing bodies. So this clothes thing, kind of overrated to me. But in any case, you get out of bed, and then, I'll speak for myself here, yeah, you put your pants on. All right, if I got to do this, I got to do it. I'll put my pants on. So you put one leg in, and then you put the other one in, and then the one leg doesn't go through all the way, and you end up like stepping on the end of your pants, in my case, jeans, and then you start hopping around like a kangaroo. You're just hopping, 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 and you feel like an idiot, and you're trying not to fall on the floor. So if you can possibly maneuver yourself, you get yourself over to the bed, and then you fall on your back on the bed, and then you stick both of your legs up in the air, which must look ridiculous from the celestial realm, because believe you me, they're watching us. So they're looking down, our legs are sticking up in the air, and we're pulling our pants down because we're not coordinated enough to pull them up. So we're pulling our pants down upon ourselves, and then you execute this amazing flip of the hips, and then while you're in midair on your way from the bed to the floor, you pull the pants up over your butt. And I wanted to say ass, but I knew some of you would be offended, so instead of saying ass, I said butt. And there you have it. And so the celestials are looking down going, he's the next ruler of the universe? And then Jesus has to remind them, I choose the unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid. And my complaint remains, by the way. Here's my complaint. One of them. We know and we teach that God chooses the unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid. I'm talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 1. My complaint is, why do people then gripe when you're unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid? God chooses the unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid. But I don't like Martin Zender.
Oh, why don't you like Martin Zender?
Because he's unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid.
But God just...
Be quiet. Don't confuse me with the facts. So, I like the fact that I'm kind of like an Israelite here. But I also like this fact even more, that God is not reckoning my sins to my account. All right, more about Israel... Tomorrow, a little bit more about Abraham, maybe. Do I have a little bit more about Abraham? Possibly. And then after that, we're going to move on to his son, Isaac. Oh, no, we do have more on Abraham. Yeah, Abraham and Isaac, then Jacob, Esau, then Joseph. All right, this has been Martin Zender. Happy Monday. That's kind of a oxymoron.